Hello and welcome to Koinonia. Here we are going to be talking on the reason for the season, which is Easter. And we already know Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus Christ is the reason for this celebration, for our gathering, not only here among us, but in all of Christendom. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. But above the celebration, above the enjoyment, above the going to the church and all the hymns and all the songs that you'll be singing, the question I have for you today is Jesus Christ real in your life? Is he your personal Lord and Savior? Is Jesus Christ personally real to you? And we'll be looking at some questions that we have with me here, and these questions, I'll be bringing these two gentlemen, these two young men here with me. On my right hand we have...
My name is George.
And on my left hand...
My name is Victor.
Yes. So I'll be asking them questions and they'll be giving us answers to these questions, and we'll have a discussion. And if you have any question yourself, you can also put it in the link below and in the comment section. You can put your questions there and we'll make sure that we'll try our best to answer your questions. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So before we begin, I want us to pray. And so Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and mercies. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for Jesus Christ, for his perfect and finished work on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. We thank you for the reality of our Christianity, the reality of our Christian life. And we thank you for bringing us here today to expose knowledge, to bring knowledge and understanding, to make revelation known unto your people. Take all glory, Lord, for in Jesus' victorious and mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be starting with the first question. The first question I have was for Victor. The question is, what is the unity of faith?
Okay, from my understanding, I would say the unity of faith is Christ.
Okay.
Because scripture say in Hebrews, I believe, that Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Okay.
So yeah, my answer is Jesus Christ.
Okay, Jesus Christ. So what about you, Judge?
He's given a perfect answer. That is the unity of faith, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so that brings me to a question. So some people think unity of faith is, you know, all the different churches, all the different denominations coming together and having maybe an organization or a union. So we find things like ecumenism and so on and so forth. So is that the unity of faith? From your answers, is that the unity of faith?
Not really. Not really, because Paul, I think, explained something in the to the Ephesians. You know, I just forgotten the scripture actually, but he talked of God giving us the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, and everything for perfecting the saints, to equip them in the things of God.
Okay.
And lastly, he said that he talked of something that has to do with faith. Just that I'm not having the scripture right now. We can go there and check.
Okay, so let us take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13.
Okay.
Yes, so if you have your Bibles, bring with me, and I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11 with the KJV. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we see what the unity of faith here is. Let us remove the "and," until we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the unity of faith is the knowledge of the Son of God, like you said. The unity of faith is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, so the next question I have for you, George. The question is, what is the connection between one Bible book to another?
Yes. Connection between one Bible book to another. Well, it's an interesting question, but I was going to say Jesus Christ or the gospel is the connection. But then, okay, I'm going to say Jesus Christ is the connection, but then it's not every book that is pointing to Jesus Christ. Some of them are stories. Some of them are parables there to teach us and teach us about life also, not just Jesus Christ. But then I know that the common connection is that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's the connection I would say there's between every book in the Bible.
All right. So, Victor, do you have anything you want
to
add?
Actually, I also agree with what George is saying. The connection is Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, we know the story is about one man,
yes.
Jesus Christ, yes. And Apostle Paul also says something to the Hebrews, I believe. He said that the Old Testament, which means which includes the books of Moses and all the prophets, you know, that's the Old Testament, right? The Psalms of David and also Moses, all those guys, you know, it says that all those things were types and shadows of what was to come, and the reality is Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. So if Jesus Christ is the reality, that means that all the books from Genesis to Malachi, you know, talks about Jesus Christ, who is the reality. And then we start from New Testament, we start from all those letters of Paul and Peter, we find that they all talk about one man, Jesus Christ, to Revelation. So, like George said, it's just Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you. So, in conclusion, you're trying to say that the connection between one Bible book to another is the amount of Jesus Christ in that Bible
yes.
book. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's come to the third question, and I'm going to ask you again, George.
Okay.
Is Jesus Christ a man?
Well, before we go direct to that question, while he was on earth here, he was fully man and fully God. But Jesus Christ is God. We know he's a supernatural being. He's not a man.
Okay, so that brings me to another question for you, Victor. Is Jesus Christ a man?
Well, Jesus Christ is a man. The Bible says that it should be in Timothy.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul actually addressed him as the man Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So like George said that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, was fully man. At the same time, was
divine,
yes. So he was fully man. And his man, even right now, is seated at the right hand of the Father. So I still believe Jesus Christ is a man, yes.
Okay. So come with me, bring your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, read 41 to 49. And I'll read from the KJV.
Luke 24, 41 to 49.
And I read, "And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So we see him eating fish, right, and honeycomb as a man, even though he came into the room was locked, the windows were locked, but he came in and they were panicking, and they were like, "Oh, this is a spirit, this is ghost." And he's like, "Okay, give me the fish, give me the honeycomb," and he ate. So like you said, he's a man. Right, so that answers the question. So the next question I have for you, Victor, is Jesus Christ God?
Yeah, okay. We have a scripture actually that addresses him as God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, I believe.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to get it.
All right, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6.
Okay.
You can read it.
Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Amen. So you find that most of us believers, we are so familiar to this name, Prince of Peace, you know. But we don't so much talk about
the mighty God,
you know, concerning Jesus Christ. And it also calls him Everlasting Father. So I still believe Jesus Christ was fully man. He is fully man. At the same time, he's fully God. There's a scripture also in Colossians. I've just forgotten exactly where it is. But it says that all the fullness of God was in Christ Jesus. Right. So when Jesus was on earth, he was fully man, at the same time fully God. So yeah, Jesus Christ is God.
Okay, so George, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, this topic, as much as argumentative it might be, or question, many people will disagree on that. And we can see from the Bible so many references, so many references that even addressed him directly. You can even look at John 1 verse 1, yeah?
Okay.
That if you read John 1 verse 1, and then you go down to 14, you see the Bible practically calling him God.
Okay, let's read John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we continue, and to 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, so the Word was God in chapter 1, in verse 1, and in 14, it was made flesh. So, still the same person.
So, yeah, as that one, you might want to argue that, yeah, it's just the Word of God. Mm. But then now 14 tells you that he dwells
among us,
yes. And he was made flesh.
Yes.
So, who was dwelling among us, who was made flesh? Mm. It was Jesus.
Mm. Okay. So, if I get what you two are saying, Jesus is man, Jesus is God.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hallelujah. So, let's see Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And I will read, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Talking about Jesus, we're talking on the question, is Jesus Christ God, right? So let's see Romans chapter 8 verse 31 to 39. Yes, Romans 8 31 to 39. Come with me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, which is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, but one person I want you to take note of, it keeps asking, who has loved us? And John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
So if he's saying Christ loved us, and then John chapter 16 tells us that God so loved the world, Christ, God, same person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I thought we should also add Colossians chapter 1 verse 19.
Okay, Colossians chapter 1, you have it read for us.
So it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Okay.
Yeah. So it answers the part where, like, Jesus Christ being the man at the same time being
all
God. Because the fullness of God, we know what the fullness of God is, you know, dwells in a man.
Yeah, this topic is a very large one.
Yes,
you can even make
large.
It a special, like a special topic for.
It's a series,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, because the Bible has always
time.
Made it clear, but
so
people still argue on this. Even told you directly that Jesus Christ is the express image
of the
invisible
God. Yeah. So how can you, the God you don't see, and then someone expresses themselves and says, "This is me," right? And then you're like, "No, he's not God," but you can't see God, and then someone says, "I'm God," and he's not dead yet, and he's still alive.
We even have the part where the disciples were asking him to show us the Father. Like, have I been with you for so long
that
you don't even
know
me?
Yeah, and if God is God, he can also express himself as a human.
In any form,
I mean, since he is God, he can do all things.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, the next question I have for you, Victor. What is the cost of the gospel? What did the gospel cost?
Well, the cost of the gospel is the blood of God, I would say, since we say Jesus Christ is God, right? Yeah. So it cost the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God, you know, to redeem man, or, you know. Yeah, so I would say it's the blood of Jesus.
Okay, hallelujah. Oh, do you have anything you want to add?
It's simple, it's powerful. I think that says it all.
Okay.
Blood of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the next question is, what is the gospel pointing to? You know, the gospel is a message, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what is it pointing to? What is this message pointing to for you, George?
The gospel is pointing to Jesus Christ, the love of God, actually. Let me say,
the love of God.
Pointing straight to the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So come with me. Okay, Victor, before we go there.
Okay, yeah, he answered.
He answered.
Yeah.
Okay, so come with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19.
Okay.
And I'll read, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we see John 3, verse 16. And that place tells us, I think people already know it offhand, but let's read it directly from here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
It's always
read
Rema. If when
yes.
you read it, you always get something.
Exactly.
You don't just
exactly.
recite
don't
it.
Just recite it offhand, you know. You might not catch what is in it.
So true.
Yeah, so John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the gospel is pointing to. It's pointing to, from 2 Corinthians we saw, it's pointing to God's reconciliation with man. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And here John 3, 16 tells us that God didn't send Christ to condemn the world. So the gospel is not pointing to condemnation, rather it's pointing to what, that we might through him have everlasting life,
mm-hmm.
or eternal life, as we say. Yes, the world through him might be saved. So like you guys said, the gospel is pointing to Christ, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So the next question I have for you, Victor,
mm-hmm.
who is condemned? Where does condemnation, since like we saw from John 3, 16 and 17,
mm-hmm.
there's talking about not being condemned. So the question is now, who is condemned?
Well, according to John 3:16, it tells us that whoever believes in him should not perish, yeah, but have everlasting life. But when you go to verses 17, I think it says that those that do not believe in him are condemned already.
That's in 18.
In 18, right, yes. So if you do not believe in the Son of God, you are already condemned.
Condemned.
Yeah.
So that means you're trying to say that God is not the one condemning.
No. It's you condemning yourself by not believing.
Your choice,
yes.
Okay.
Man has free will. So if you choose not to believe in God, you're condemned already.
Okay.
Yes.
So George, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Just like I can say, the world, God so loved the world. So it's the world actually that was condemned. Like
mm-hmm.
the humanity or man himself is condemned.
Mm-hmm.
So you need
but
to believe
because
now,
of the love
you know
of
that.
God.
So yeah, he's provided the escape route for you from
one.
Being condemned.
That's a good one.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so for you, George, who is the gospel for them?
Okay, this question, answering it, I'll try to be careful not to. Who is the gospel for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say the gospel is for the believers, but it's been made available for everyone. So in other ways, I'm saying it's available because it's there, right? Like it's there for you because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now who is the gospel is pointing to? Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's there for everyone. So if you believe, then yeah. So why I say, you say who owns it, right? Who is it for?
No, who is it for?
Who is it for?
Yeah.
So why I say it's now for believer, because the Bible told us clearly that it's there to rebuke you, to correct you. So that is when you've believed in it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it gets to correct you, to rebuke it, now becomes yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I think.
So what you're saying is that the gospel is for the whole world, but it is entrusted to the believer, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so Victor, do you have anything you want to add?
I think he has explained everything. Yeah, I also agree with him that the gospel is for the world. You know, scripture says, should be in Titus or Timothy. Yeah, but it says that for the grace of God has appeared unto
mm-hmm.
all men.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So which includes everyone. All men means everyone
mm-hmm.
in the world, right?
So whatsoever.
Yeah. So like what he said, once you accept the gospel, then the gospel begins now to shape you, to work on you, you know, as in you begin to grow in the gospel. Like he said that it rebukes you, it corrects you, it teaches you so many things. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with him.
Okay. So now let's see Matthew 24, verse 14. And I will read from KJV also. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, just like you were saying, George,
mm-hmm.
for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 28 verse 18. Let's see that one also. Matthew 28 verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in the earth, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And also Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but for our time, let's leave it at that. So what the two of you are saying in essence is the gospel is for the whole world, and the gospel is entrusted to the believer.
Right. Yeah.
So actually you have answered the next question I was going to ask.
Oh.
Yes. So I'm going to be bringing us to the last question, and that question is for you, Victor.
Mm.
What is the sin unto death? So we hear a lot of things. Some people say that if you commit this sin, God will not forgive you, and they say it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Right. So the question is, can you explain to us what is the sin unto death?
Okay. I just thought I should share the scripture. I think we read the scripture before. John 3 verse 18.
Yeah.
I think from there you can explain something. I'll read.
Okay.
He that believeth on him is not condemned,
mm-hmm.
but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I will still go to the same one and believe, you know, choosing not to believe in the Son of God is the sin that leads unto death. Because every other sin we commit, you know, God can forgive you.
Already paid.
Yes, it's paid for. Jesus Christ did not pay for unbelief, you know, he did not pay for that one, but he paid for
all other sins.
So if you accept, you believe in him, you find that you have the remission of sins, you know. But if you choose not to believe,
you don't have any
like that. Yeah, so it's unbelief, I would say.
Okay. So George, you want to add something?
Not too much. It's unbelief, actually. Yeah, it's totally unbelief, because like you said, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, even
for
in first
what he
John
did to
also,
be real
yeah.
for
so
you.
Even in first John, that John, sorry, chapter 1, if you're reading through it, that's part said you have to believe through him, like through him, it is the word. Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's see 1 John 5 verse 16 and 17. 1 John 5 16 and 17, and I'll read. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now he says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now I want you to take note of this. A sin unto death, prayer is not the answer. Believing, exactly. So if you say, no, let me go and pray, God will forgive me. Actually, your prayer for forgiveness of sins can't forgive your sins, because Christ has already paid for it. And John 3 verse 16 tells us that whosoever believeth, right, will have everlasting life. It didn't say whoever prays. So so the sin unto death requires believing to get out of it. I don't know if you're with me. But if it is your brother is found in sin, he will ask and you will give him life. That is, you will forgive him. Right. You go to someone and you preach the gospel to the person. The person will repent, right? He will believe and he will repent, right? So, gospel, you preach, faith comes, he believes and he receives life, right? So, if he chooses not to believe, if he continues in his sin, in his iniquity, he is going to end up in death, right? I don't know if I'm making sense. So, let's continue 17. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Right. So like we talked about earlier, you remember you were saying that there is this study, like it takes a lot of breaking down, a lot of explanation.
Yeah.
This is one of those kind of topics that takes a lot of explanation, a lot of explanation for you to understand it. But what we are saying in essence is that the sin that is not unto death, what I've gotten from both of you, is that it is unbelief, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we have seen the scriptures here that sin is forgiven, right?
Yes,
but
exactly.
Unbelief is what leads unto death. Okay, so before we come to a conclusion, based on these few questions and answers and this discussion session we've had, I want to invite you to follow our channels, follow our blogs, follow our discussions, follow our Bible study session, and it will help you. Whether you are a Christian or you are an unbeliever, you're a Christian, don't say, no, I've already believed, I don't need it. You need it. You need to understand. You need to renew your mind. You need to, there are some stomach purging food, let me put it that way, that we have been taught in the body of Christ that you need to unlearn. Unlearn them and relearn. Relearn what is true, what is perfect, what is good. Relearn the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So follow our channels, follow our updates, follow our posts, follow our videos. And in the end, as knowledge and understanding begins to reveal itself unto you, because the same Spirit of God that is in us is the same Spirit of God that is in you as a believer. So if what we are saying is true, it will, you will have a witness in your heart that this is true, right? And if you have any questions, you need us to help you answer, we will help you answer. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank these two gentlemen here with me. I want to thank you, George, for making yourself available, and I want to thank you, Victor, for making yourself available.
Thank you
and
for having us.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you for having us.
So you have any message you want to give to anyone?
Well, there's nothing much. I just would say stay encouraged and let your faith remain strong in God if you're a believer. And if you have anyone who you need to bring to the family, try to share the gospel with them. Share this podcast or this message with anyone you love. That is it.
Okay, what about you, Victor?
Well, for me, I would just encourage people, those that are having the chance, you know, in this period of pandemic, those that are having the chance of gathering together, I would encourage you to continue, you know, gathering together, because that's what the scripture talks about, you know, that do not forsake the assembling of brethren, you know. So, yeah, I don't have much things to say. Yeah.
Okay, and while you gather, also remember to keep pandemic rules and regulations in your area. Thank you and God bless you. So together we say Happy Easter to you.
Yeah,
happy
Easter
to you all.